This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network focused on our communication and leadership skills. I'm your host, Craig O'Neill. And in our episode today, let's talk about something that makes a lot of service advisors really uncomfortable. That's fun. Discomfort, something we're trying to get out of on this show all the time. Today's topic is on customers who want to wait. I was actually talking with Andy Adams from RSOT, Repair Shop of Tomorrow, and he had a wonderful perspective on waiters that really inspired me to explore this topic further and look into my past and look into current time. You know the feeling, right? When someone says, I'll wait for it. And internally, your advisor mind is screaming, oh no, please don't, right? I understand. There's always an angle to want to get people to drop off the vehicle rather than sit around and wait for it, creating that pressure, that stress that just builds up on us when they are there. Oh, brother. Maybe you are worried about that pressure, or you've got a packed schedule, or you just prefer the control of phone communication. It's nearly universal, my friends. Many advisors hate waiters. Here's the truth. That nervousness that you feel about waiting customers, well, I think it's not the important thing. I think you're missing your biggest opportunity to turn a first-time visitor into a client for life. And it is on that first-time visitor in particular that I want you to be very open-minded about what we're discussing today. We're asking this question. Should we not just tolerate, but actually encourage new customers to wait? To wait for it. Well, a case has been made, not by me, but I am going to support the case that the answer is very almost certainly yes. I'm going to tell you now about my early days when transmissions had pans and dipsticks, offices were cramped with terrible coffee, and why some old school methodology still warrants a rethink, because I think it's still alive today, some of the old school methodology, a little bit alive, way too alive, probably. And we do have a word of the day today, and that word is proximity. We'll define that word for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Did you know the Institute helps shop owners scale to multiple locations? We're the solution for building productivity, profitability, and growth. Learn more at weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Cover your communication need and revolutionize your auto repair business with AI-driven call analytics from Inbound. Explore more at callinbound.com. We're back. The word of the day is proximity. It is a noun. The definition, nearness in space, time, or relationship. In our context, it's the physical closeness between you and your client that creates opportunities impossible to replicate through phone calls or text messages or even digital inspections. An example, the proximity of having a client wait at your facility gives you something you can't over the phone, the ability to build relationship through shared experience. All right, proximity. That is definitely one thing waiters give us. But let's go back a little bit further. I want to talk about kind of what I see as kind of an old school manipulation. And so before we get into why waiting works, I'm going to tell you what I was taught early in my career. And it is this. Somebody calls, goal number one, get them to bring in the vehicle. Goal number two, get them to leave the vehicle. That was it. My grandpa had VHS cassette tapes of training course that taught exactly this. And it is that early. VHS tapes. You would plug it into a VCR. If you're polite, you'll rewind. But the point was clear in this training class. The idea was to separate the client from their vehicle. This creates a sense of urgency in the client's mind that will hopefully make it more likely that they will approve repairs, whatever they are. Get them out of there so you can call them later with the findings and they'll feel the pressure to say yes because their car is already torn apart at your shop or something to that effect. Early days, that seemed valid to me. It was the sales technique that was taught. I saw it work many times. It's a model I remember being very simple to follow, and it was a very simple formula. But using the modern lens, and this is something that only we today can do. We can look back and we can judge ourselves harshly. No, we aren't going to be judging too much like that. But that was how it was, especially in our transmission industry. That's how it was. And there was a strong case for keeping some mystery in the whole process as well. Don't divulge too much information up front. Get them to bring that car in. If you give them too much information, they'll use that information. They'll shop around or whatever else. There's a lot of fear on that. And that fear was real. And the way things worked back then, that's how it was. So I don't want to come across judging this, but let's go with that modern lens because I do feel the approach was more manipulative than it was influential. Manipulation versus influence, that is something we talk about in communication all the time. The goal isn't to manipulate people. The goal is to influence them meaningfully. And I do feel that though I was schooled in that way, I was missing out for a little while at least on a better way. And this better way I do feel is at total odds with that past. I think we have a way today that is a culture that educates. And I think that is far, far superior. And we'll talk about why these waiters, the approach works well with that. The old school approach, I do feel, was a lot more about control than it was about education. The way I would, if I'm going to throw a label on anything on it right now, I would call it a sketchy shortcut technique. You can decide for yourself on whether you agree with that. The fact is, I do think there are plenty of sketchy shortcut techniques still alive and well today across many portions of the industry, and they do even differ from this old school method I just described. The point I'll make is that there are no shortcuts that make customers for life. Shortcuts make transactions. We want relationships. So let's keep going back into the transmission shop with me here for a little bit. When I was working as an advisor, this was simultaneous with a time where my grandpa was on a radio show. Wood Radio AM 1300 is a call-in talk show. It was surprisingly popular. People calling with car problems, Pat and Al, now both have passed today, but they were great and they were loved. And it was a major trust builder. AM talk radio in our conservative West Michigan in those days, it was really great channel to be on. We also ran our commercials there and, oh my goodness, and the political talk shows came on all day and in our town having the commercials and that just built instant trust too. It's crazy. Radio is not the same today by any means. And that might be a good thing in some ways too. You decide. But we would get customers coming in from that radio show. It was really effective for a number of years, especially late 90s, early aughts, middle aughts even. We're still really good for that. A lot of those radio customers, we called them, came in for transmission fluid changes. And that's one of the big things my grandpa was encouraging constantly, almost every single episode, of changing the fluid is much better than having to change your transmission. And it was true. So that was the appointment that would come in. That would be a classic case for even a transmission shop to have a waiting client. Obviously, we didn't have a lot of waiters for transmission overhauls unless they wanted to hang out and camp in the shop for 3 days. Yeah, not going to happen. But transmission fluid exchanges and changes back in the day of bottom pans and serviceable filters and dipsticks, oh, the glory days. This was good. And the process take about an hour. It's perfect, perfect case for a waiter. And I had terribly mixed feelings about these appointments. You get too many of those in a day, and I was skunked. I couldn't do anything, and here's why. I was the only service advisor for 5 or 7, depending on the year, transmission specialists, right? When I had a client waiting in the office and talking to me, I wasn't building estimates for other jobs. That means work was getting held up. The pressure mounted. It was very real. I was super stressed, and even me, who loved chatting with clients and meeting new people, was put into a position where I was too stressed to even possibly enjoy that. And on top of that, our waiting area, it wasn't even a waiting area. It was just our cramped office and the little two chairs outside of it. And I'm talking wooden chairs like you would almost have in a dining room. It was like this building was from the 50s and even throughout the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s, and now 2010s. I don't think that front office has changed a whole lot. I went through the other day and saw those same two chairs there, still no waiting room. It's not a space designed for waiting at all. And like coffee was in those old pots. This is pre-K cup, folks. There's nothing fancy, nothing comfortable. And don't even make me tell you about the bath. It's not really for the customers. Not at all. But this is what happened. We set expectations for those waiters. Our technicians would come up. They'd greet the client. We'd get the keys. We would get the fluid draining, we pull the pan, and the technician would walk it up to the office with the pan typically. Sometimes the filter's already disassembled and we discussed exactly what we saw. And it was fascinating to people, especially the radio listeners who already tuned into an automotive show coming in. Clearly, they have an interest in auto repair in general. They were dialed in. They wanted to hear more. They wanted to talk about what it was that we see, ask some questions, and have an experience. It was a show and sell, show and tell, education moment. And that is exactly what we're doing. We were educating them. And those clients, full trust, relationship established. They came in as radio listeners trying us out. They left as our clients, not just for transmission services either. Even in those days when we primarily specialized in just transmissions, that was evolving. They became clients for everything. And they were part of that evolution. Because once we started to see that there was the demand, we figured, well, we better address it. Why not? There's other people trying to address transmission demand too. So oil changes, brakes, suspension work, you name it. We became their guy. Not because of comfortable chairs, good coffee, but because they saw what we did, they understood why it mattered, and they trusted us. And this was before DVI systems, before tablets, photos, videos, the convenience of the modern digital communications. Education was manual. It involved physically walking them back to the bay, showing them their vehicle on the rack, putting the evidence in front of them, providing that experience. And sometimes, even as I talk about this right now, it's like, holy crap, I think I missed those days. As stressful and frustrating as they often were, and how much we just didn't appreciate waiters back then, there's something real there. Imagine taking on each day with a team that cares about doing more. They're motivated, skilled, humble, and hungry. They're invested in your shop's success because that success helps them do more than just sell jobs and fix cars. At the Institute, we believe a thriving business is built on its people. Our comprehensive coaching and peer groups help you become a leader who is capable. Capable of inspiring your employees to reach new heights, capable to deliver exceptional customer service, and capable to grow your business into a respected pillar of your community. Start your legacy at weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from AutoFlow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using AutoFlow. With AutoFlow's automated text update, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Trust ShopDog Marketing to be your reliable companion with AI-powered customer-first marketing, websites, and high-ranking local search. Maximize your reach with our mobile-first and voice search expertise. Car counts are like ice cream. Sweeten your revenue with ShopDog Marketing. Grab our free guide to learn how AI can drive more repair orders every day. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Every professional auto repair shop needs a trusted communication partner. At Inbound, Our established VOIP platform is backed by years of industry experience, guarantees reliable connections, and is combined with cutting-edge AI-powered analytics. We deliver actionable insights that support your business growth. With Inbound, you get more than just calls. You get a smarter, more efficient operation. Get Inbound on your team today and see how we can transform your business. Visit callinbound.com.
This is exactly what I noticed over time. Clients who had that pan, drop, walk-up experience, especially back then, if they had gone into the shop with us, they responded differently on future repair recommendations, or better back then when they had become familiar and felt welcome in the facility. It was sometimes too welcome. Sometimes I used to worry about this. They would come wander back to find me if I wasn't up front at the desk, and they'd wander back to look for me, and they'd find some of the techs that they're talking with them. They feel so literally welcome, like this is a space they can enter and participate in. Not ideal in an age of liability and lawsuits and all the things. It's so litigious nowadays, and the safety issues and needing eye protection and the slippery floors and all of the risks are so paramount. Gosh, that was really good. Those people came in, felt like one of the guys, knew the team members. They didn't price shop us. They didn't question our findings. That first educational experience created a foundation that paid dividends for years of healthy relationship. Every car in that family and their extended family was also referred to us. We were their people. They trusted us because we shared time with them. We'd literally shown them the inside of their transmission and explained what they were looking at. They had an experience. Now, compare that to the client who just gets a phone call. We change your fluid, everything looks normal, you're good to go. Maybe the same service, might be the same price, completely different relationship. And maybe that's okay after you've established that first visit. Maybe some of your visits will be that way. But what about that first opportunity? One became a client for life, right? You can do this. The other, maybe they come back, maybe they don't. You're just another shop. And that's the dark side of efficiency. As the years went on, we had more and more cases where we never met the customer face to face. Never. The vehicle was towed in after hours. It was a phone message. I called them, often left a message. They called back. We finally have a synchronous phone call conversation. That was wonderful. And that was about as good as it got. They authorized repairs, even there was longer sales approach a lot of times over the phone. Still pre-digital inspection days, if you can imagine, right? And clients would still pick up the vehicle after we've closed. And so literally never once had a face-to-face interaction with so many clients for a number of years there. Everything handled by phone and email. And that really is, in my opinion, boring. Our relationship was with the car when it should have been with the person. Operationally cleaner, right? No waiting room management, and we didn't have much one, as I've mentioned. There's less interruptions. Very efficient communication evolved, especially as the digital age really came about. The vehicle turnaround was pretty good. Something was missing. We were solving problems without building relationships. And here's the thing I want you to hear. I do get it. I understand why very well. I understand why advisors don't like waiters. You've got a shop full of work, estimates to build, phone calls to make, having someone sitting there watching you, hearing you talk to others, watching that clock, feeling the pressure. What if the job takes longer? What if the wrong part shows up? What if a mistake occurs or something breaks? Then you find something else major too and have bad news. Sometimes that happened even on a pan drop in our transmission shop. I actually hated those scenarios when we found something actually bad. In those cases, we were much more enthusiastic about finding good news. It was terrible when we had those situations, new client, and we have to tell them that actually this thing that we found in here is a terrible sign, can be very uncomfortable. But hey, again, that discomfort, this is where the opportunity lives. And I guess this is the thing, the bonus most advisors miss. And this is something that I really loved about the waiting customers. When they eventually did need a ride somewhere, it was inevitable, it would happen. We could drive them. And don't have your grumpy repair specialist in back who doesn't like people and doesn't know how to carry a conversation do this. You have the happy team members that are gifted in the art of conversation. those sort of skills. They get to be the one that gives the ride. And we would use our repair specialist for this as well. A lot of times I was like, hey, I really have to catch up. They're already held up because I wasn't building estimates anyways. They might as well give this guy a ride home or to work or wherever. But let me tell you, a 5-mile ride in the vehicle, usually it depends on the technician, whether they could take their car or not. But that's gold. It is. It's a captive audience in the best possible way. It's casual conversation. No desk between you. It's shoulder to shoulder time. No phone ring in the background. Well, back then, now we have cell phones and everything's ringing all the time and probably in their ear. That really ruined it for me when you had some people that would just put their headset on and talk on their phone the whole time I'm driving to work. It's like, doggone it. This one's going to get away someday. But no, when you do have a good opportunity, a lot of people, great conversationalists, you just get to hear about everything. Some of my best client relationships started with those drives. Because in that car, look, they weren't the customer and I wasn't the service advisor, just two people having a conversation. They'd tell me about their family, their work, what they needed for their vehicle. And I'd get to share a little bit about our facility, our team, why we do things the way we do them. And that context is invaluable. You can't get it over the phone. Those things don't typically happen over the phone. You're not forced into that proximity or that time constraint with the individual or solving that problem in the physical space. And there's power in that. Now, let's talk about staffing for a minute because we have to be honest about this. You need to be staffed appropriately for waiting customers to work. If you have a stressed out, burnt out advisor, and I've been there, folks, I've been there. We can talk more about that sometime. Reach out. My shoulder's not exactly soft, but it is broad. One advisor trying to manage a waiting room while building estimates for 7 specialists, that's a recipe for burnout, not relationship building. I erred on the side of relationship building in those moments and just sort of said, you know, screw it. You know, I'm going to focus on the people in front of me. And that wasn't always the decision I had to make. Some other ones sometimes too, but if I had to leave anybody hanging, it was going to be the staff, not the individuals that are going to be paying us the money. They pay for the whole show. I'm going to give my attention to them. Tough decision to make when you have a lot of angry people starting to stack up in your staff that are expecting you to get the jobs approved so they can stay productive, especially if pay plans in the shop aren't reflective of downtime. But here's the key, all of that stuff. It's an operational problem, not a waiting room problem. Don't blame the concept of waiting customers for your understaffing issues. You can't. Customers are a good thing. If you're not happy to see them there, that's a problem. You really do need to address. And if you can't handle waiters right now, fine, but don't pretend that's a feature. It's a limitation that you may need to solve because shops that do figure this out and have a staff that's good for client interaction, they win the loyalty game every single time. You're winning transactions otherwise, and that's not sustainable. Need a lot of new customers to keep that model going. And if you can't have a few of those new customers wait to develop those relationships, you're going to keep having to find new customers. I want customers coming back. I want high retention numbers. Now, last thing on operational problems, I want to talk about something else I see all the time. And that's shops that spend thousands of dollars on beautiful waiting areas, leather chairs, premium coffee bars, the good stuff, flat screen TVs, all the works. And they rush clients out the door as fast as freaking possible. It's absolutely bonkers. And if that's you, you might have spent some money on the wrong thing. The chairs and the coffee actually aren't what's building trust. The human interaction does. The transparency does. The education does. And I would much prefer to make sure I'm staffed well with a moderate waiting area rather than have this shop mahal and nobody to pay attention to the people that might come through the doors. A comfortable waiting area is nice, but don't get me wrong. But if you're not used to that space, if you're not using that space to actually connect with people, you've just built an expensive room that nobody wants to connect in. Tying this together, what waiting should actually accomplish, I would say if you are going to encourage new customers to wait, or at least not actively discourage it, here's what needs to happen in those first 15, 30, 60 minutes, even depending on the type of job it is. Number one, you have to teach them what it's like to do business with you. Use that time to explain what makes you unique, how your processes work, what they can expect for communication, what you do on your inspections, why you do your inspections, to make your client safe, reliable, and efficient. Mr. Client, we won't let you down. This is a grand opportunity to have that face-to-face. And we learned through COVID, those of us who've been through that in the industry. Face-to-face, we crave it when we don't have the opportunity for it. We absolutely do. And that's such a great time to teach them what it's like to do business with you. That's number one. Secondly, introduce them to some team members, not necessarily all of them. Get it. Our transmission specialists, when they're doing a valve body, you don't talk to them. Yep. Not happening. You're not meeting them that day. If they're not in a valve body and they're on something else, fair game. Let's meet the rebuilder. But this is a great opportunity that shows these are real people that are actually caring for the vehicle, not some mystery, sloppy Hollywood image of whatever they're picturing. You actually get to see a human being. So clean uniforms, sociable team members, building a culture inside the shop that actually values the waiters. That's the hard stuff. And it's worth doing. And then third, show them they can trust you. They're waiting sometimes because they're nervous and they just need to wait. There's different reasons. They don't know you yet. Like we discussed in episode 74, you can't tell someone to trust you. You show it by doing what you said you would do, even with the simple things, again and again and again. What they're doing is evaluating whether this is going to be a good decision or a mistake by coming to you. Use that time to educate. Don't waste it on small talk about the weather. But by all means, start with the weather. I love hearing about people's weather. This is social norm in Michigan. It's almost rude to not talk about the weather for at least a moment. Have fun with them too. But the real question, stop being afraid of customers who want to wait. Yes, it requires operational adjustments. Yes, it takes more time up front. And yes, it creates pressure and discomfort, but that investment pays dividends in loyalty, trust, and the lifetime value that phone calls and text updates, even all those important things today, will never match. The real question isn't, should we encourage new customers to wait? The question is, can we afford not to take advantage of that opportunity when it presents itself? The clients who waited, they stayed. The clients we never met face to face, couldn't tell you. Our relationship was with the car. Build relationships with people. Sometimes that requires them to be physically present. So, hey, this is a touchy subject. I know it is. Some shops do not allow waiting at all. And you make that very, very clear. And it's not a very welcoming thing sometimes. So I'm just challenging that. If you have an opinion contrary to that, something to add, something you're curious about, something you'd like to talk about on this topic or others, email me here, speakup@craigoneill.net. That's O'Neill, O-N-E-I-L-L.net. We appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps or suggestions on topics you'd like to hear us discuss on the show that will help you on your communication journey. Please remember, listen up to the other shows on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonzo, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. And please remember, download the new Automotive Repair Podcast app available on Apple and Android devices so you can have focused, episodic learning at your fingertips on your device without the distractions of anything else. Such a great app. I really appreciate it there. And now you can also hear Bob Greenwood's second thoughts on the app as well. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors who make not just this show, but the app possible. Thank you for joining us on this journey. All of you listeners, thank you so much for being with us. We hope you're looking forward to a great new year ahead. Now get out there. Listen up, speak up, and wait for it.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Check the show notes for Craig's YouTube channel and email. Let him know what topics you'd like him to speak up about. Yeah.